All right, if you guys want to open up, we're going to start the scripture. We're going to jump into and kind of read first. It's Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. If y'all want to open up there, open your devices up there, open your Bible up to there. It's always an honor. I try to make sure I say this. It's an honor to get to bring the word, get to speak to you guys. I don't take it lightly. It is an honor to get that privilege in this house, and that's what it is, a privilege. I do pray that God, every time that I speak, I want you to hear what God's saying to you, not what I'm saying to you, and that can be different. You know, Jesus spoke in all these parables, and it can mean so many different things. When you read the word, it's so deep, and God's word is just so profound, and God's word can meet us in different places, and the same words can mean something today, a little bit something different tomorrow, a little something different the next day. And that's just, you know, that's the nature of who he is. That's the nature of the depth of who he is. So as we do that this morning, my prayer for you is that you hear what God has to speak to you. And that's usually my challenge when I'm listening to anybody. I'm like, all right, God, what is it? You know, Sid can get up here and he can go for hours. And honestly, I can't retain it all. I can't. Now, you can listen back to it, and that's great. And that's good, and you should, and dig on it and everything. But a lot of times when I'm listening, not just Sid, but anybody, I'm going to say, all right, God, what are you telling me in this? And I may pick out three or four things that Sid says. I think we've had life group before, I've gotten a revelation. Me, I've gotten a revelation. Like, I just realized this about such and such and such. And Sid said, brother, I've been preaching that for 3 years. I'm like, I know, but I just got it. Nothing against you, but I just got it. Nothing against the speaker, nothing against, not that you hadn't been saying it, but I just got it. I just got it. I just had that revelation. God just spoke it to me. Because I can talk all day long, guys, and unless God is speaking to you, it's just some words. So that's my prayer, not for just me, but when we're listening to his word, when we're trying to get deeper with him. And speaking of deeper, very simple concept that I won't talk about this morning, but I just got an illustration that I really felt when I saw it. God kind of spoke to me in it then. And I was almost like, next time you speak, you probably need to do this. And lo and behold, next time I speak is now. So we're going to go with it. And it's simple, but it's something that us as Christians better be doing all the time, or hope we're doing all the time. And it's basically just going deeper with God. And I think in this house, I feel like, well, we've had some of these really, really deep, intense, spiritual, really great, awesome services. People are getting ministered to, you know. I feel like as a congregation, we're digging a little deeper, and that's awesome. That's probably most likely a reflection of individuals in this room digging deeper. When you come into this house expecting something, you come in this house excited about worship, excited about the word, excited about just being in the same room together, worshiping him, you know, it changes the atmosphere. And it makes us as a house go deeper. It makes us dig a little bit deeper. It makes us worship a little bit harder when we get to do it together. So that's the general gist of what I want to talk about. Let's read what Paul has to say, and I am going to read it all. Forgive me, I'm not the greatest reader, but we're going to read all this because it's important, and I think it's something that we need to grasp this morning. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, this is what he says. I admit, and I'm reading now the Passion Translation. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion, and if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. and let us all advance together to reach his victory prize, following one path with one passion. So that's obviously the Apostle Paul speaking there. There's a lot of deep stuff in there. When he wrote this, you have to remember, some of the commentary says that Paul had been saved, had been in this thing for about 25 years at this point. He had been through a lot of stuff. He had been used to do a lot of miracles. He had been beaten. He had been run out of town. He had had all this stuff happen to him. And he had encountered Christ. I'm just trying, the things that he had experienced, he had been to the third heaven. He had been a lot of places. He had been in some deep places. I'm not going to speak for you, but he had been in a whole lot deeper places than I've ever dreamed of being. And yet he writes, I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. He wasn't satisfied where was he was at. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing these things from, basically, he's being imprisoned by Rome at this point, the Roman government. I think maybe he's under house arrest at this point. He's not even free to go where he wants to go. All this stuff has happened. He has suffered for the gospel. He has done all this stuff. He's written all this stuff. He's been all these places. And he says, you know what? I want to go deeper. I've yet to be to the depth that I want to be. I forget all the past as I have fastened my heart to the future instead. And he lived in this place of, you know, yeah, all that stuff happened. Yeah, I was used by God. Yeah, I've walked in these places. Yeah, I've been to the third heaven. I've been to all this stuff. I've seen Jesus. I've talked to him. But what's ahead? What's the next thing that I get to do? What's the next thing that God wants me to do? What's the next place that I should go? So no matter where we're at with our journey, we should always want to go deeper. We should always want to go deeper. So there's a point that I want to make here that God kind of was, I feel like, hammering to me when I was reading this. The Word, a lot of times, and I won't pull up all the scriptures. You can pull up all the scriptures in the Word about being content. And it talks about, you know, we need to be content here. And we need to be content there. And, you know, because I'm content, I will continue to do this. And let me be content in this. Let me be content in that. Let me be content in this and that. And I have not found yet where, when he's talking about us being content, he's talking about us to be spiritually content. Anytime you find him calling us to be content, it's in the physical. It's talking about our physical position in life. It's talking about your money, your career. It's talking about it's like, you know, be content in this place. He's not calling us just to be that. I'm not saying just, you know, be poor and stay poor. That's not what I'm saying. But your contentment level. He's talking about in the physical. I don't see, and from what I have dug, and again, I'm not a theologian, I never see him say, well, you know, spiritually, you know, just get where you're at and be content. Paul, you know, hey, you've done all this stuff. Be content where you're at. That's not the contentment that the Word tells us to have. So in the American church, and I'll just use this loosely, because we're easy to pick on, we flip those. Contentment in the physical and not content with the spiritual, we flip that and we say, you know what, I'm going to be content with my spiritual location, but I'm going to chase God when it comes to making more money and driving bigger cars. I'm going to believe God for all this stuff, but spiritually I'm going to stay content. Spiritually I'm good right here because spiritually I'm fine. I'm content there. You know, I'm going to be content. God told me to be content. I'm going to be content. No, that's not what he's telling us to do, guys. I'm not saying not to do good things in life. That's not what I'm saying. But your contentment level. Your contentment level does not depend on your position in this world. And so we don't want to be content spiritually, though. That's when we're stagnant. That's when we're lukewarm. That's when God's like, ugh, ugh, ugh. It's just not good. It's like coffee. You either drink it hot or you drink it cold. That kind of in between, that room temperature stuff, ugh, it's nasty. And he doesn't want that from us. And I think that's where we want to get. So let me get to my illustration. I'll tell you about a guy. His name is Stephen Bishop. If you don't remember that past today, it's no big deal. But it was an interesting guy. And Stephen Bishop is famous in one place in this country, and that is Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. So Cami and I got to go last weekend. We went last weekend kind of for our, I guess, our Valentine's trip real quick. We ran up there. We're trying to see all the national parks if we can, doing about our best to go to all the places. And Mammoth Cave is a national park, and it's in Kentucky. And it's just a little bit north of Bowling Green. Super easy to get to. It's a really neat place. And you go to Mammoth Cave, and it's like, okay, this is cool. This is a big cave. What's going on here? I want to tell you about the guy named Stephen Bishop. In 1838, follow me, guys. I'm a history person, so this stuff gets me. So in 1838, Stephen Bishop was 17 years old. He goes into Mammoth Cave for the first time. Previous to this, Mammoth Cave, we learned it had been used for, gosh, they were like making gunpowder in there and all this stuff. It was pretty interesting little history that was going on. But somebody bought the cave, and in 1838, he started going he went into the cave and began to give tours. And he went all around. He took all these famous people in Mammoth Cave. It was kind of a big deal. It was something you go in there, and you get to see all this cool stuff. And he would take you around, and he had explored it enough to get you in there, show you. And everybody wanted Stephen Bishop to give them the tour because he was the most knowledgeable. Like, he had learned so much stuff about it. He had basically become a geologist. He wasn't trained. He didn't go to school to be this, but he had basically become a geologist. And he could tell people what was going on in there. And he would take tour after tour after tour after tour, and he showed all these people. And there's just like this long list of like all these famous people that were famous in 1838 that he took through this cave. And everybody wanted him to take them through the cave. He led tours for years and years and years. I think the history of it, it was multiple years that he led these tours, and there was this place that he wouldn't go past, and that's what the pictures are for. See, it says bottomless pit at the top. These are my really, really good pictures I was able to take in the cave with my cell phone. See the bottomless cave? Bottomless pit. We were walking on this little thing, and there's this massive pit right there, just this sinkhole that's in the middle of the cave. And he never went past that, because that was kind of like you had this big cavern, you go into this big cavern area, you kind of snake around, and you've seen a lot of the cave. But you get to this point, and our national park tour guide said, you know, basically behind this boulder, we're about to go see the bottomless pit, and that's kind of where the tour would end. That's kind of like, hey, we hang out in this room, we're here, you've seen the cave, all right, time to go back up. And they named it the bottomless pit because and couldn't see the bottom of it. They had no idea what was down there. So it was this bottomless pit, this place, this impassable place in the cave. And so that's kind of where it stopped. And they had limitations too. They could only see a little bit. It was kind of neat in the tour. Of course, when you go in a cave now, they've got lights everywhere, right? They've electricals down there, and they've got lights hidden, and they can turn it on, and it's really, really pretty because they've got all these up lights, and you can see the path. I mean, now, obviously, it's a national park, so it's really easy to walk through. But they have one section, what they do, so that you can get a grasp of what it was like. They bring you onto this room right before you go to the bottomless pit, and the tour guide, the park ranger, he cut the lights off in the whole room, and you feel that complete darkness. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave, and they've done this. I've been in a few where they'll let you experience real darkness. You know, because we could cut the lights off in here, we could cut the light, whatever, and you still, there's a little light somewhere. But that darkness where you can't see your hand in front of your face, that darkness, like you have no idea. It's that dark in there. And then he's got a little kerosene lantern, you know, that he picks up and he lights it. And he said that they couldn't keep the glass around it back then because the fuel that they would burn would black the glass and you couldn't see through it anymore. So they just didn't have glass around it, so it could easily get blown out. So you had to be real careful with your light. And he lit the lantern up and he said, "This is what you would see in this cave." And with our own eyes and with our own power, that is what we see. We see just a little bit in front of us. And sometimes God just shows us a little bit in front of us. Because I want God to illuminate that whole cave. I want to walk in there. I want those lights to come on and I want to see it. I want to see where this path is taking me. I want to see where that rock goes. I want to see the bottomless pit. I want to see to the bottom of the bottomless pit. I want to see everything all at once. That's what I want. And that's how I like to explore, where I can see things. But God says, sometimes here's a lantern. I want you to take this, and I want you to explore. I want you to walk deeper with me. But I'm only going to show you the next step. And there's maybe a pit in front of you, and maybe you can't see the bottom of it. But I want you to take the next step. It was really cool. I mean, you could only see. I mean, literally, you could see the guy standing there a little bit. You could see his feet. You know, we were standing right in front of him, and you got this little circle around him. And he said, with this lantern, he said, you can't walk too fast because you'll blow it out. He said, you had to walk gingerly. You had to be really careful. You had to take your step. Oh, there's a boulder there. Oh, there's a rock here. I don't want to fall down because I'll blow my light out. And God wants us to walk with him, trusting him the way he wants us to walk. So my questions are this morning. This is the questions I have for you. Again, this is, what's keeping you where it's safe? These are things I want you to ask yourself, ponder on, write them down if you need to. What is it that's keeping me where it's safe? And I use this safe with a little, because you think you're safe. Oh, I'm going to live a safe life. You think cancer cares if you feel like you're safe? Think car accidents care if you feel like you're safe? You think all these things, I'm going to live this safe life. I'm going to hide in this corner and I'm not going to do anything too way out there because I'm going to live this safe life and I'm going to stay protected. At the end of the day, these guys were still in the bottom of a cave. Still in a cave. Things can still happen. But we create these safe zones in our life. What is your spiritual bottomless pit? And we go to these places and we want to stay safe. And we say, I'm safe in here. I'm safe in this room. I feel comfortable in this room. I know where the rocks are in this room. I know how to get back out of here. I know how long it takes me to get back out of here. I know exactly where I'm at. I'm safe right here. I do not know what's on the other side of that pit. So what is this spiritual bottomless pit in your life is my question. What is holding you back from taking that next step with God? Complacency. Here's a list of stuff. This is stuff I thought of. You think of your own stuff. Complacency. You've been hurt, deeply hurt. You have a lack of understanding of His goodness. You don't understand His grace or forgiveness. Laziness. You don't want to leave others behind. And the last one is the fear of the unknown. We've got this list of stuff. First, you need to identify what that thing is. What is that thing that keeps you from, and what I'm talking about, big view, is going deeper with God. Going deeper than coming in here on Sunday morning. We sang this song this morning. Let me just pull it back up. This new song, The Mountain Led. Monday morning faith. For some of us, sometimes, and maybe not all the time, the biggest bottomless pit that we cross is that threshold going outside of these doors. and we leave our faith in here because we're afraid to cross that pit out there and take it with us. Well, I better leave my faith in here where it's nice and safe. I'll go across that bottomless pit and I'll go out through there without it because I want my faith to stay safe. I want to, you know, I'm not going to take it with me. Maybe we just need to say, God, there's a pit right there in the foyer that I need to get across. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's deep hurt. And say, God, I can't go deeper with you right now as I don't trust you because last time I got hurt. Last time it didn't work out the way I thought it would work out, so I got hurt. Last time this happened, X, Y, Z happened, and you know what? I can't trust you. I don't trust your goodness. I don't trust your nature because of my personal experience. And so is that our pit? Is that what's keeping us back? So why don't we cross over? A lot of times it's this fear of the unknown. We just don't know. I'll be honest with you, that's been me a lot. I just don't know. Like, what does God want me to do? You know, there's always that fear of us as Christians that he's going to call me to be a missionary in Africa. You know, you have that fear. Like, man, if I surrender to God, he's going to take me someplace I don't want to be and do something I don't want to do. And he's going to make me, you know, live off bugs and live like John the Baptist, you know, with camel hair and all this stuff. You know, that's what we imagine. That's what we build up in our mind. That's what God's going to do to us. Or maybe God wants me to not live as comfortable and whatever it is. So it's this unknown. We think it's an unknown. We say it's an unknown. For Mr. Bishop, it was an unknown. He didn't know what was on the other side of that pit. I mean, back then, I mean, they probably thought dinosaurs were in there. I don't know what they thought. I mean, it was a scary thing. But we're not like him because I may not know exactly what the rock looks like on the other side of that pit. I may not know exactly every little detail, but I know something that's on the other side, and that's God. If I'm chasing God, then God's on the other side. And I know him, and I know him enough to know that he loves me. He cares for me. He wants good things for me. He wants to use me. So we can say, I don't know what's over there, but we know what's over there. God's over there. So if we want more of God, then you know what we got to do? We got to cross over whatever this thing is that's holding us back in life. And we got to say, you know what? I don't know exactly what it is, but I know who it is. And I know it's my God. And I know he's on the other side. So I'm not going to let this thing hold me back. So don't be afraid of more of God. That's what we're saying. I'm afraid I'm going to get too much of God if I keep doing this. I'm afraid I'm going to get too much of God, and I don't want to do this, so I'm going to stay on this side. All right, I got a prop. Sorry. Y'all going to work with me here. This is just how my mind works. I prayed if I was supposed to do this. If not, forget it. Hang on. All right, here we go. This was the next step for Mr. Bishop. He had a guy, he was giving a tour one time. The guy said, listen, man, what's on this side of that pit? Hang on. He didn't know. Hang on. He said, I don't know what's on this side. I've never been on the other side of it. I've never been over there. And this guy's like, man, why don't we go? I think some money was exchanged from my understanding, from what you read. There was a little bit of money exchanged. He's like, well, why don't you find out? I got a pocket full of cash. I want to find out what's on the other side of that pit. And so they had used ladders. They had to use ladders to get in and out of here. He'd had these ladders, you know, to get up and down rock and to get his guests in and out. And so he'd use this ladder to get people up higher and get people down lower. Climb up this rock, go down this one. We'll use this ladder for that. But he was as interested in what's on the other side of that pit as anybody. And he said, well, finally, I've got an excuse. I got an excuse to go over there. So he gets one of these ladders, and this is how, you know, you're normally using the ladder. You're going up, right? I'll show you. You go up the ladder, right? We're going higher, right? That's what we use ladders for. All right, see, y'all going to remember this tomorrow. When has Sid Garner ever stood on a ladder at church? I got him now. We go higher. We go higher. I want to go higher. I always think that for me to get to God and for me to go to the next step with God, I've got to go higher. I've got to go straight up. I got to be better. I got to pray more. Okay. All right. I got to worship harder. Okay. I got to do this stuff. I got to do this stuff. If I go farther, I'm going to fall. And I got to go higher and higher and higher. And I've got to get closer and closer to Him. But this is what Mr. Bishop decided. All right, we're going to get across this thing. He took two or three of them, tied them together. All right. I've got to go that way. I'm not going this way anymore. I'm not going that way. I'm not going to the bottomless pit. I'm not going straight up. The way for me to get to the next level in this cave is to go over the old, you know, the old story that you can't go over it, can't go under it, you know, that whole kids thing. And guess what? There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that because a lot of times in my faith, I don't want to go that way because I don't think that's how we get to the other side. I don't want to go through something difficult because I don't think God's in that difficult thing. There's no way God's on the other side of that pit. There's no way He's in that darkness over there because I don't know what's over there and I can't go that way. So that's just not right. It doesn't feel good to me, so I can't go that way. It doesn't make me happy, so I can't go that way. Because if it's good, it's God. If it's not, it's not Him. My perception, my perception, my perception of what good is, my perception of what bad is. Because I don't want to struggle. I don't want to have to trust this ladder to get me to the other side because that's scary. So I just assume, hey man, let's just go up. Let's get higher. Let's praise louder. Let's be closer to Jesus because we're so much. And God's like, you know what? I need you to cross something that's keeping you back. I need to teach you something. I need you to walk through something that's scary. I need you to go into a dark place that you don't know what's there. Because out here in the light where you know where it's all at, guess what? You're not getting any closer to me right here. You're not getting any closer to me right here. I love you. You're going to heaven. That's all great. You know, it's wonderful. We're all hanging out in this big cave together. We're writing our name on the rocks. We've been here 1847. I was here, blah, blah, blah. It's all cool. But God's like, I want you to go deeper with me. I'm tired of where you're at. We need to get something. We need to get a holy dissatisfaction. Pray tonight on the way home, when you eat lunch, I don't care. Say, God, give me a holy dissatisfaction. I want to be so sick of where I'm at spiritually, I can't stay here anymore. And you know what I'm going to do is my faith that I think has got to go a certain direction, I'm going to say, God, how do I need to use my faith to get closer to you? How do I need to use my faith to get closer to you? Because I always think, man, God's going to bless me. It's going to be better. Yeah, He's going to bless you. But sometimes He blesses you by building you a bridge, and I'm going to fall. And He wants you to use your faith in a way that you've never used it before. Trust Him in a way you've never trusted Him before. Because that ladder is not... Alec, this ladder is not designed for this. OSHA would kill us. I mean, I'd get in trouble. You're not supposed to do that. That's not how it's built. In my mind, my faith shouldn't be used in this way. In my mind, my faith shouldn't say, you know what, I'm about to go through this hard time. I've got to cross this thing. I've got to go through this deal. I'm doing something wrong. I must be doing something wrong because God wouldn't have me go into a dark place. Oh, 100% He will. If you really want to be used by him, 100% he will take you to a dark place. But you know what he says? No matter if I'm on the mountaintop or basically the word says, if I'm in hell itself, I will be there. I will not leave you. I will never leave you. He can't leave you. He can't leave you because he said he would. And God can't go against his word. So a lot of times we want to use our faith the way we want to use our faith, but God says it's time. Our faith is our ladder to him. It becomes a bridge. Just kind of making sure I'm telling you guys everything I was supposed to tell you. Don't limit God where he wants to take you. Don't limit him. He doesn't see obstacles. God just doesn't see obstacles the way I see obstacles. He just doesn't see them the same way I see them. We want to go up, up, up. We want good things. We want happy blessings, smiles and rainbows, butterflies. We want all that stuff. If I don't like it, it's from the enemy. If I do like it, it's from God. Let's jump to another scripture real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says, We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. With no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. This glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And in some translations, that's from glory to glory. You know, we hear that and we use that and we believe that. And yeah, I want to move from glory to glory. I want to go from this glorious place in God to the next glorious place in God to the next glorious place in God. And I think that's what we're talking about. That holy dissatisfaction should drive me to want to move to that next glorious place in God. But just know your next glory may be a dark, damp, dusty cave. But as long as you're there with him, and that's the key, because we can get in those places that God didn't intend us to go, okay? I'm not just saying because you're going through a hard time or because, you know, something looks wrong, something, whatever. We can do it. But no matter where you're at, no matter what place you've got in, God always has directions. You know how your GPS redirects you? Mine does it to me all the time. I'll make a wrong turn. It's like, okay, well, it's not where I wanted you to go, but this is where you're at now, so here's the way out. Here's the way out. He always knows where you need to go next. No matter what turn you take, where you go, he knows the next turn. Your next glory may lead to an uncomfortable place. Will you still go? Will you still cross over? See, God's not afraid of the other side of this thing. God knows what's on the other side. God knows what this challenge that you're facing in life. He knows what's on the other side of it. And I can't tell you what that challenge is. That's something you got to figure out yourself. See, the bottomless pit is not bottomless to God. You know why it was bottomless to them? It's because they had a lantern hanging over the top of it, and they're laying over. I can't see the bottom of it. It must be bottomless. Because I can't see it, it must not be true. Guess how deep the bottomless pit is? 105 feet deep. Not really all that deep. Not that deep at all. Not that deep at all. You can barely see it. If you pull one of them with my cell phone, you could see it. Not that one, the other one. You see that little white dot? Now, again, this is a cell phone. That's a light at the bottom of it. This thing that they had thought is impassable, impossible to get across. This must go to the very depths of hell. It's so deep. That was one of the things. That was one of the little things that they thought, like, man, if you go too far, you're going to find the devil in here. 105 feet deep. that thing that we think is so bottomless. There's no way I can get, Randy, there's no way I can get to the next level because this is too insurmountable for me. So Stephen Bishop crossed that on that ladder. He crossed that bottomless pit. And he began to explore Mammoth Cave. Right now in Mammoth Cave, there are 420 miles of known passageways. It is the largest, longest cave on the planet. The next closest is in China somewhere, and it's like half that length. And they were being held back by this little pit. 420 miles of known. If you go into the little visitor center, they have the little display, and it's actually a digital changeable thing that says currently 420 miles. And it was last updated in like 2022. Because you know what? They think there's a possible 600 more miles in this cave that they've never seen. I've never seen over 600 miles. So McCamey and I decided the entire state of Kentucky apparently has like mole holes under it, and you can go underground anywhere. It's kind of weird. Because one man decided he wanted to go deeper. And then we have the excuses. I'm going to wrap this up pretty quick, guys. We're not going to be here long. We have all these excuses. All right, here's the excuses. I wrote some of them down. I can't do this thing. I can't cross this boundary. I can't get out of this place I'm at. It's only for certain people to do that. Sid can hear God's word, and Sid can go on his property, and Sid can talk to God and hear God and all this stuff, but he's the pastor, and he has a special connection with God that I can't have. And he may have a special connection, but it's not because you can't have it. But we say it's for certain people only. It's only for people who have this deep faith background. I didn't come from church. My family didn't go to church. I'm learning about all this stuff. I can't do it. I can only go so far. This is only for people who haven't had hurt and disappointment that I've had. That's bad, wrong. But we'll use that as an excuse. I've lost somebody I shouldn't have lost when I lost them. So there's no way I can go any deeper with God because I carry this hurt. I carry this pain. I carry this thing that I just can't shake. So it's not for me. And you think this Stephen Bishop guy, you look back on it, man, he must have been well-funded. He must have been, National Geographic kind of guy. He must have been this guy that absolutely had everything just right for him to be able to explore this cave and to do what he did. He must have been a special place in life. He must have been a special person. And he was. Stephen Bishop was a slave. He was owned by the man who owned the cave. What's your excuse? He still wanted to know something deeper. So it doesn't matter your position. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. There's some place deeper God wants you to go. There's some place that He wants you to go that you haven't been yet. He could have said, you know what? Because his owner put him in there and said, just explore this cave and make me some money, basically. And he could have said, okay, I can do that. This is better than picking cotton. This is better than being out in a hot field somewhere. I'm just going to take advantage of this, and I'm going to take these people, and I'm going to show them some rocks, and I'm going to take them back out of here, and I'm going to be okay, and I'm just going to survive this thing. But there was something inside of him that said, I don't care what my position is. I don't care what the world says I should or should not be able to do. I'm going to explore this place. And I'm going to see on his own. I'm going to see what's in here. And he would spend days and days and days in there. And he would learn stuff. The map that he drew was used for another 40 years after his death to explore the cave. Hand-drawn map, and they said it was frighteningly accurate. They said the cross sections and where water was, and he knew it all. He shouldn't have known those things. He shouldn't have been, he was not educated. He was a slave. But he said, no, I'm more than that. And guess what? You are more than what you think you are in God. If you think, well, I'm just getting by. No, go deeper. He wants us all to go deeper. And there's never a point, like we started off with what Paul was saying, there's never a point that in your faith walk that you'll say, okay, I'm good. Because you've only explored 420 miles, Alec, and there's another 600 to go. And probably more than that. So we get to this place where we're content. But I want a holy dissatisfaction of where I'm at spiritually. I want a holy dissatisfaction of where my level of praise can go. Where my level of just intimacy with reading the Word and understanding the Word. I want to go deeper. So let's wrap it up. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to keep talking. So I want you to assess where you are in your walk. Pray for the desire to go deeper. Pray for that holy dissatisfaction. Identify what your bottomless pit is. What's holding you back from that? And let's use our faith. Let's use our faith. And if our faith isn't strong enough, let's get it stronger. And you know how you get your faith stronger? You use it. So, I don't know if this is an altar call thing this morning. I don't know. I mean, I got a ladder. If we want to touch the world, though. I mean, guys, if we're in it for ourselves, I mean, you know. If I'm just here for me, if I'm just here to get saved, I'm saved, guys. I'm saved. I think everybody in this room is pretty, I hope, saved. Got that salvation part checked off. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. I mean, it's going to be an amazing place. The old song, Heaven is a Wonderful Place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. It's going to be great. But like we've talked before, we have this unique opportunity when we're walking this earth that we won't get again. We will not get this chance again, guys. You'll not have this afternoon again. In heaven, you won't have this afternoon again. In heaven, you won't have this next week. You won't have that opportunity to have a Monday morning praise when you're in heaven. But you have it now. You have an opportunity to come from a place of brokenness, come from a place of, like we've talked about. So what am I going to do with it? Gosh, if you're in it for yourself, okay. But do we want to be like Stephen Bishop and say, yeah, I'm going to figure this thing out. And you know what? 150, 200 years, like whatever. People are still going through the exact same path that I went. Because me and Cammie walked on a little boardwalk that went past the bottomless pit. Had a handrail on it. All that good stuff. I wasn't there when he went through there. We went through the thing called Fat Man's Misery, which was really skinny, made me a little nervous. He crawled on his belly through there. I walked through there. So what legacy are we leaving? That thing that you guys, mom and daddy find a bottomless pit, your kids will be like, psh, there's a walkway right next to this thing. That's nothing. Y'all struggle with that sometime? Oh, that was scary to you? Okay, well, it's not anymore, because you know what? Because you threw a bridge down over the top of it and said, I'm going to cross over. I'm going to cross over for my kids. I'm going to cross over for my loved ones. I'm going to cross over for those people in the church that need me to cross over, and I'm going to show them the way. And I may do it with a lantern, and I may do it with just a little bit. You know, one day they're going to run electricity in here, and this is not going to be scary at all, and we're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I may explore 50 miles, but guess what? They're going to explore 420 more because of something I did. So we don't know. Stephen Bishop has no clue I don't know how, I don't know what his faith was. I really don't know, but I can't imagine that he has any idea that Cammie and I came from Georgia to walk through his little cave that he found and see the wonders of my Creator. Because Cammie and I are walking through it thinking, I wonder, are these in Israel? And this is the kind of cave that, Jesus was buried in. And you think about those things and you think about all just the wonder of who he is. So, very simple this morning, but something that you will never, never outgrow is go deeper with him. I don't know. I guess we'll do an altar call this morning. I don't know if this is an altar call thing, but I do want you to ask yourself those questions. If y'all want to stand up, I'll close us out. Has anybody got anything they need to add to this? Well, I hope God spoke to you. I hope you got something that he spoke to you, not me. Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning, God, and I thank you. I thank you for this morning. I pray right now over every person in here a holy dissatisfaction, God. I pray for a holy dissatisfaction as to where they're at with you spiritually. And God, I don't care if they're in the closest, tightest, most wonderful place with you that they've ever been. I pray that they're not satisfied with that place, God. I pray that I'm not satisfied with where I am with you, God. I pray that I always want to get deeper and grow closer. Just like Paul said, if they don't have that desire, I pray that they mature into that desire. God, mature each and every one of us where we must and can't live without getting closer to you every day. And God, I pray that if there's something that's keeping us back, God, if there's something that's holding us back from taking that next step with you, if there's this bottomless pit that is so deep and so dark and so scary and we don't know how to get to the other side, God, I pray that you show us how to use our faith, God, to get to the other side of that. Because you aren't scared of it, God. You know it's there. And God, when we get to the other side, I pray that we continue again to get dissatisfied with where we're at and want to go deeper and want to go deeper and want to go deeper. Lord, we love you this morning, God. We thank you this morning. We thank you that we'll never out-explore you. I'll never be able to get there, but gosh, I don't want to stop. So, Lord, I just pray holy dissatisfaction over these people this morning. I pray love. I pray safety. I pray good things. I pray all those wonderful things over this house. But, God, I don't want us to be satisfied, God. I pray as a house. I pray that Victory Fellowship has a holy dissatisfaction as to where we're at as a church. I pray that we dig deeper. We want more of you. We want to be used more by you. We want to touch more people, God, than we've ever touched before, Heavenly Father. God, I pray that the church as a whole on this planet is dissatisfied with where we're at. And we dig deeper into you, Heavenly Father. So, Lord, thank you, God. Thank you for this morning, Heavenly Father. Again, God, be with our missionaries, be with our team that's in Honduras, be with Jeff in the Philippines, Grant, just all the people, God, that are out doing your work. God, I pray that you touch them, strengthen them, God. Lord, be with this house, be with the people that are here, be with the people that have listened to this online now or whenever they do, God. I pray that you speak to them and touch them, Lord. We just love you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.